are yet again at the Nerd Watch. We have a special guest in studio today. Of course, we are here with Gannon, Format, myself, G-Money. Alika's in the house as well. And we're here with a very special guest from Smoke Solid Dairy. I hope I got that right.
Yeah,
Smoke Solid Diary. Okay.
We've also been known as Smoke Solid Day, apparently.
Smoke Solid Day.
No joke.
Really?
We actually played Kawaii Con. The last Kawaii Con. It was all this year. And so, in all the printouts and everything, they didn't list that we were a concert even, but they just also put the name as Smoke Solid Day. Like, I actually, like, on the first day, I was, like, we were joking it sounds like a stoner band, so we're walking past one of the art vendors on, like, the first day. Like, I just landed, and someone's, like, pointing it out. Like, it was so funny. They're like, is it Smoke Solid Day? Like, I actually think it's supposed to be Smoke Solid Dairy, and I was pointing out, I was like, actually, yeah, it's supposed to be Smoke Solid Dairy, and I wasn't, like, going to say anything more than that. They're like, they're kind of like, I don't know, I think it's actually Smoke Solid Dairy. They're all, like, going back and forth. I finally just said, like, I'm the singer of the band. Like,
all right.
Like, I didn't want to be that guy, but I was like, I know.
All right, we got the first two words correct. It's Smoke Solid. That's what it is for sure. Okay, absolutely.
I have a question about your name. I've always wondered.
All right, well, let's find out who he is first. Okay, all the Nerd Watch people that are listening. Well, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, sir?
I'm known as Corona Ackerman, and I sing and play guitar for Smoke Solid Dairy.
SSD?
No, I can't say that because there's a punk band.
Well, no, that's what I wanted to ask.
It wasn't intentional to have those initials.
Okay, I was going to ask if that was intentional.
Interesting.
No. Everyone, like, I feel really bad. I never try to, like, officially say that. Everyone, once they know the band, we all get lazy and you do the initials because you don't want to type out a name that long.
Every
you're just
punk
texting
rocker.
Your friend.
Yeah.
You did it on purpose.
No, I didn't.
Actually, I think I was doing it first, actually.
Yeah.
At least we're here.
Well, I mean, it happened a long time. Because the thing, well, I mean, the band, like, technically was started in 2011, like, long before I even moved on island.
Well, and, no, here's, my question is about the SSD initials is, there was a Nirvana concert where Chris Novoselic is wearing a shirt that says SSD. And as a kid, I dreamed of having a band that would just have those initials. I didn't have
idea
what SSD was.
You're not aware of the hardcore band called SSD, though.
No, I'm not aware.
There's a 1983 Boston hardcore band called SSD. Like, as far as the Boston punk scene, they're kind of...
You should have known,
like,
sir.
I was in Boston in the 90s.
I mean, to be honest, Smoke Solid Dairy is quite a strange name for a gospel group. I mean, I'm all for it. I think it's great that you're spreading the word.
We're spreading the word of Harveyism however we can.
There you go. So what is, if I may, I don't want to get too off track, what is the hardcore story of the SSD group, if we may get into that?
Solid State Drive.
I love Solid State Drive.
For the Boston band, now I'm not like super, super knowledgeable on them, but I mean, it's one of those things. They were, I believe they started around 1980. They're super known for, like, songs like Boiling Point, and you can see them in movies like American Hardcore, which a lot of people have seen because that was a Sony film and things like that. So they're pretty well featured. And as far as, like, even East Coast in general goes, because you had a lot of scenes there. You had DC, and people think of things like Bad Brains or Minor Threat or big names like that. But kind of somewhere below that, if you're looking at East Coast stuff, like, SSD is pretty far up there.
Wow.
But
interesting.
I think they actually played a Wahoo a few years ago, from what I hear. I wasn't living here at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I gather, they were playing, like, Anna O'Brien's or something.
Oh, wow. So Smoke Solid Dairy. Let's get to the origin of Smoke Solid Dairy. What was the embryonic stages of the group, and how did we come up with the name? Was it just the love
embryonic.
Of cosplay?
Embryonic. That's the first thing that hit me, too. Sorry. It's a good word, but...
Sorry.
Wow.
I know. But I just wanted to know how it all started. Was it just for the love of cosplay and anime that really got you into it? Of course, that's one of the biggest reasons we have you on the show, is because your love for those things.
Yeah.
So what was it? What was it? And why Smoke Solid Dairy?
I'm trying to think of how to tie all this up, because I can start way really far back when I was just a lad, or I can, like, I guess the shortest way to cut it is the first time, and the thing that ever really sparked it is I lived in like just north of Houston, Texas at the time, but I still surfed and everything, which is part of why I loved moving here.
Sweet.
So I'm down in the Texas coast and I'm literally sitting in the water. The surf's not that good in Texas, so I'm sitting there waiting for like stuff to go by, and you have a lot of time to ponder life. And for some reason, like absolutely no joke, what started this is I just randomly had this like picture of me cosplaying on stage as Haruhi singing in a punk band. Which is exactly, I cosplay as a character called Haruhi Suzumiya from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, it'd be really cool if someone did, like, a band and sung about, like, anime and stuff. And I was like, I guess I could do that.
Wow!
It's like the weirdest story, but it's just like, yeah, I really don't know what to say. That was how it happened. So I had this idea rattling around, and I was like, I'm gonna work toward this. Because I had, like, I hadn't really written songs at that point. I'd been playing guitar a lot. I'd run, like, punk zines, so I really, like, knew my stuff. But I hadn't started writing a lot. And I thought, you know, I'll give it a try. So I had this friend who lived, like, way far across Texas at the time. And we hadn't started talking a lot. But the thing that really got us talking finally and, like, beat down all these barriers and made us good friends is one day I just sat and asked him, so have you ever had an anime crush? And all of a sudden, these floodgates open, and we start talking about, like, everything. And from there...
Figurative floodgates, yes?
Yeah, okay, exactly.
Just checking.
No, no, that, that came later. I don't move that quickly. So anyway, long story short is we keep doing this stuff. We realize we're super into punk in it and, like, kind of nerdy stuff. And one day, we see the Casualties are playing what looks like The Game. You know, internet joke there. Mm-hmm. And he's like, someday... you know, we should play there. We're going to have a punk band, and it's going to be called Smoked Solid Dairy, because I kept making these references to him. It's super obscure reference.
Right, right.
You know, I won't get into that just yet. But once he said that, and I was like, he was on board for it, I was like, no, I've had this idea. We have to do it. So I started writing, like, all these songs and, like, guitar lines and this and that and everything else. And actually, that guy hanging out behind me, Abe, we enlisted him on bass, theoretically, and all of us lived, like, way across Texas, like, none of us lived even, like, within 100 miles of each other.
Is Abe the one with the blonde hair or the green hair?
Blue, green hair.
Yes.
Got it. Abe!
How's it going, sir?
All right. Hey, there you go.
You had a chance at being in.
You had your shot.
What? No. But now you have to stay on that side of the room.
All right, anyway. So,
you can join us, but you have to do lunges.
If I may ask you, where did your guitar prowess come from? Was that something you learned, I mean, obviously as a youth?
Prowess?
Have you actually seen or heard? I mean, it's pretty bad. No.
Here we're here promoting your man.
He's almost as bad as a guitar player from the Minority.
I've heard that guy's actually pretty terrible.
Yeah, he really is. I heard he's really good on bass.
It's great on bass. So, okay, so is it? I guess would that be the ultimate attraction, though? I mean, it sounds. If someone doesn't listen to punk music, is the attraction that you don't necessarily have to be as musically gifted that you can?
Oh,
what? I'm just asking.
Why is it?
Made it sound
why,
like,
why
the
is
king
it,
of the backhanded questions.
I like how everyone else is offended by this, and I'm just like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, that's why I picked punk.
I'm asking. I'm asking Mr. Ackerman over here.
Ouch, sir.
I'm sorry. I'm asking as...
I thought we were friends. That's why I reacted that way.
I'm sorry. I'm supposed to
be supportive.
I mean, completely naive. That's why I'm asking. That's why I was
well,
asking.
Well, gee, you know us liberals like to get offended on other people's behalf. So we had to get over here and defend Corona, even though he didn't care.
All right, so, Corona, what is your take? What am I missing?
Basically, with some punk... I mean, some people, there's totally the occasional band that's just the horrible three-chord band that they really don't know how to play. But with a lot of some punk, they're not as repetitive or not as, like, simple as a lot of pop music, frankly.
Sure.
It's the kind of thing, with a lot of pop music, there might be a ton of production money poured into it and a bunch of layers with it, but you're not having a lot of musicianship. I mean, if you have a lot of access where, oh, we can put one violin accent here and one keyboard here, I mean, you can kind of run into certain
interesting
things. With punk, it's a very raw and it was a very DIY scene. It's the kind of thing people are very connected. When I had my punk scene, I go to shows, and the people that have been in it for years that I, like, looked up to, they come out, and they're like, whoa, you're wearing my band shirt? That's super cool. Like, come up. And, like, one of my favorite bands, like, is, like, I was 13, and I was learning guitar, and I was talking about it, and I couldn't figure out one of their songs. He's like, here's my guitar, and he showed me, like, how to play it.
Oh, very cool.
So it was always stuff like that. Like, I loved punk since super young age. My dad was in the skate scene and had a skate shop, so I was always around
I was stuff. Familiar with the more popular, I guess you could say popular punk, I guess, NOFX, which is, I know currently.
Yeah.
I mean, I always considered Clash very punk for me, my taste.
You brought up the worst band you could have.
I know, I can't, I really can't hate you for either of them, but it's one of those things I actually, like, have a, like, I really... personally right. hate both, but that's right. it's completely fine. It really is.
Right. Like, tells you how much that I enjoy.
Like, for most people, consider those legitimate bands. It's just me personally, so that's why.
If somebody wants to talk about backhanded compliment, that was a very backhanded compliment. Legitimate bands. That was good, by the way. Nice job, sir. That was very nice. So now, focusing back on Smoke Solidarity, you guys have been together, or you guys have been doing this for how long now?
We technically started in 2011, but how this worked out is I was, like, recording stuff, and I was trying to move toward things toward a direction. I had, like, guitar parts recorded. I had, like, lyrics written out, and I never stopped writing from the moment I started, for the record.
Nice.
So I have this guy to my right. We recruited him on bass because he was literally the only other person I knew at the time. I don't have a ton of friends, like, in Texas, and I just assumed, like, I was like, this guy looks nerdy enough. I bet he likes anime.
So do you guys strictly do music or have music that is about anime? Is that essentially the gist of all of the music that you guys put
Not
on?
Strictly, okay. But there's just a very kind of different perspective on it, because it's the kind of thing... I do tend to like certain stuff that's a little comedic. I do like some bands like the Dickies or the Vandals that, you know, they just
I
have,
know the Vandals.
Yeah, exactly. They just have some songs that are like,
sorry,
you know, I mean, they're just
rally points for you, sir. Rally points for you.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
But yeah, so it's just like I have a heavy sense of humor. So I love writing songs that are just totally stupid, that have no real world meaning. It's just a joke practically.
Sure.
But then I also like writing about stuff that I watch a series, and as much as it might be, like, really rooted in weird, like, nerdy culture, I, like, look at it and take away a real meaning from it, and I look at its themes, and I feel like this relates to, like, problems in the world, or, like, things even directly that, like, lots of punk bands talk about. So I might do, like, occasionally I'll do stuff that's kind of cryptic, sure, where it's, like, if you don't get it, you're just gonna think it's, like, a punk song that's about, like, anti-fashion or something, and then... if you watch Kill la Kill, you realize it's actually, there's, like, it's referencing constantly the right. series. But it's not that it's one or the other. It's meant to be, it functions as both. And it's kind of meant to, I guess it's meant to make sense of it to other people that sure. are trying to follow along what I see and why I'm doing this. Because once you start making connections and you see stuff like that and you're like, well, is it this or is it that? And you realize it's kind of both. You start seeing, like, what's similar about them.
You never see anime... I would never assume that anime would have such a inspiration on you, especially living in Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would probably be... I would assume it would be harder to get in Texas. I mean, but that's... Yeah. Once again, I'm not sure.
Ain't that hard to get on Maui.
Well, that's because we live right here in the Pacific.
I'm super stoked to live here now, because I can buy, like, Pocky anytime I want. But
you can buy it almost anywhere around here.
Yes. So I guess that had come early too, because I mean, let's face it, I grew up in the generation where I was 3 and I had Pokemon taught me how to read. That was like so I started reading because I wanted to know what these things were saying, so sure. And my dad had a skate shop back in Texas. He'd promote at Akon, which is actually still running. It's the longest running anime convention in the country. So I had kind of been exposed to this stuff, but truthfully, I was never a super huge anime nerd, and I didn't even really like cosplay.
Ah.
It's something I've kind of fallen into, more recently. So it's kind of funny.
So do you dress up on stage every time you play? Or?
Every time.
Every time. Is it always the same character? Or?
Generally, but there might be some more costumes, maybe Friday.
Wow. What's happening?
So if that's not a reason to show up.
He slipped that right in. What's happening this Friday?
So Friday, we're finally releasing this EP we're talking about. It's called...
very nice. I'm looking at the picture.
He's got a picture of me changing from the last show.
Very nice.
Yeah. On Friday, we're doing the release show for our new EP. It's called Haruhiism Isn't Dead, which is, there's like a mock, or it's kind of joke religion around this girl I dress up as generally in the series I'm really into.
Right, right, right.
Don't call religion a joke, dude. It's for real.
Exactly. I'm sorry.
Have some faith.
That was some, for some this reason, what, I got inspired by that wisdom right there. It's so strange.
This is why he was supposed to be in the band. So anyway.
I'm in a different band now that you inspired, so.
Uh-oh, yeah, exactly. Now it's actually kind of come around. But anyway, so we're doing the release show on Friday. It's for Haruhiism Isn't Dead. And actually, my friends here are going to be participating. They do other nerd punk stuff, like, on the mainland.
Cool.
So it's actually not just me doing it, even. Sure. There's actually, like, at least about 10 or 12 of us.
What brought you here?
A plane.
Thanks.
Pretty obvious.
Of course it did. Sorry.
Yeah.
Stupid question.
Actually, what brought me here was... You know, like, my family had had a business.
The punk scene on Maui.
Yeah, well, actually, what's funny is the first time I was ever in a pit, I was on vacation here. I saw Agent Orange and D.I. It was in Lahaina. It was the first time I was ever in a pit. And it's
really?
Like, yeah, no joke.
That's crazy.
And so I had been to shows before, but that was, like, my first, you know, time going around.
I was going
to
say, because everybody knows that if you live here and you do music, if you're not doing reggae, then you ain't making any. You ain't making money.
Yeah. You don't make money anywhere.
Look who you're talking to. We know better than anyone there's no money in this.
That's what I'm saying.
We're not smart businessmen.
And if there's one music genre that I think is, if I were to equate it, that's lesser than punk as far as musical talent, it's reggae. But don't get me started.
He would say that over dubstep, man, where you could just have something on a laptop.
When I got, when you have, in reggae, when you have three chords and a chank and that's all you do for every single song.
Three chords and a chank, sir? That is racist. That is racist, dude.
I said chank.
Doesn't matter, man. That still sounds really, really racist.
I said chank.
Is that the plural?
That is the plurative, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So,
no, it's past tense like he left the room.
It's very it's very cool that you guys have, I guess it's, you would have to be Smoke Solidary and, of course, the minorities who are kind of, I guess, fostering the punk scene. Would that be more or less what's happening?
Attempting.
It's not really fair to say. It's more of a baton toss than anything else, because we just carry over from where the last band stopped.
Yeah.
Really.
Gotcha.
I mean, I would hate to say we're the only ones doing it. We are, but only in the sense that everybody else is on break or hiatus. People moved away.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like, and sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but it doesn't seem like the punk scene is one of those things where it's like exclusive, or they don't want you to be part of it. I mean, at least here, it always seems like everybody's pretty inclusive.
We can't afford to be like that here.
Especially here.
It's like the same 20, 30 people every show. We started being jerks about nobody's coming
anymore.
Good point.
We seriously do get more in like 20 or 30, though. I'm pretty stoked to say.
The same 20 or 30. I mean, we get more than that.
Yeah,
I should say that,
like,
right now. We get more than that. But
so,
like,
so one show, you
for the most
want
to part,
do it, right?
You can count 20, 30
that
faces
guy,
that are there
Steve,
at every show.
You're not allowed to come to any shows.
You. I don't like you.
That's right.
I don't like how you're wearing that Clash shirt. Get out of here.
We'll see you next week.
So Crota, you have the EP that you have. How many songs are on the EP?
Eight
songs.
And it's 12 minutes long.
That's a long EP.
I was going to say, wouldn't that be...
Long.
Wouldn't
oh,
that
that's
be,
why.
Oh, that's why.
We have a 12-second song. Actually, it's 11-second, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. 11-second song. That is
it's even shorter live.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the longest song you have on that EP?
I believe it's 148.
Holy cow.
I can pull out my iPod.
By punk rock standards, that's actually, that might still be November Rain.
I was going to say.
Nah, we're normally pretty concise about stuff. There's a lot that's like 1 minute. Some of it, I originally kind of wanted to press it to vinyl, so some songs, there's actually one song in particular I seriously wrote. And I knew what the lengths of most of them were already.
Sure.
And I realized I have 1 minute left. I have to do everything in the song in 1 minute. And that's how I got the length for it. Like the most ludicrous way to write a song possible. But people tend to gravitate toward it. So it's cool.
That's very cool. So are we looking at another EP soon after this one? How long
you want the next thing already and it's not even
I'm asking, how long is the process?
This is just like episode 8 all over again.
Hold up.
No, it's fallout like, 6.
But, I mean, actually the thing of it is, I've had so many sets of lyrics written, like, by the time, most of the stuff that's actually going on the EP, I wrote like 2 years ago.
Wow! So you have a bank of stuff then.
Yeah, no, for me, I never stop writing songs, and I go through spells where I won't write, I won't finish anything
wow.
for like 6 or 9 months. And then I'll come back and I'll start writing again. So for me, like, I feel like we're just light years behind. Because even aside from tossing away all the stuff that you end up not liking after you write it,
right.
I've still got, like, scores. Like, I'm pretty much literally, I already have an album cover for a full-length album after this.
Wow!
Like, I've been dealing with this for so long, and I've been trying to push for so long that it's really amazing to me that it finally got moving when I moved here.
Wow.
It was kind of surreal, really.
Very cool.
But, yeah.
You guys have picked up a bit of a cult following here. I mean, I see a lot of guys wearing your cool t-shirts, you know.
One of the minority stickers. Shirts, too. It tells you a lot.
that's a good point. That is very true. Do they come in 6X? Or
he said 6X, just for everybody listening. I just want to make sure that you guys heard that right.
Thank you.
6X.
I appreciate it.
There's a space there.
Yes, there was.
Continue.
Yeah, so I probably have one up to like at least 3 or 4 XL, wow. actually. I'm pretty nice about that stuff.
Those
I'm
are nice shirts.
He knows where he's living.
I'm just saying, he knows where he likes
snacks out here.
I've always liked those shirts, and I was always curious, and I was glad that you brought that to my attention. So
yeah, I can toss one your way. Yeah, no problem.
Sweet. That'd be awesome. But other than that, Corona, you have a once again, let's get your show promoted here. It's happening when? This Friday, right?
This Friday, November 20th at Wailuku Coffee Company. It's totally free. It's all ages. Anyone, I mean, we're not asking anything. We just want you to come hang out. You know?
Very cool. And what's happening after that? Any other upcoming shows or anything happening that you can speak of?
Normally, we actually have like a list. Like, I think I've only had 2 days that I went to my band members and went, like, oh, I don't know what the next show we're playing is. Normally, we always have something in the pipe. We're probably going to play...
Maybe February.
Oh!
January, February, yeah. But very we cool. don't know for sure. We're still playing with that. Normally, we already have it, like, in pocket by the time we play a show. But
Right. So, you know. so for sure, Wailuku Coffee Company, this Friday, at what time?
6 to 9 p.m.
6 to 9.
It's kind of an early show, but it's going to be super fun. I've got a... these guys in town that also do nerd punk, so I've
very
played
cool.
I've done other musical projects with them for a year. Like, this is Abe from Ray Clone, and in the back I have my friend Steven from, he does a band called Shut Up Sydney.
Cheers. Abe and Steven. Very cool.
So, but we're gonna be doing some of their songs too, because I've just done music with them so long. They're actually you can hear their voices at various points on our demo record. Like,
really?
Yeah, Steven, because I've always been like really heavy-handed about like having, it's like, I like anything I do, I like it to be involving people. Like,
for sure.
Steven, you can hear, like, he does this great, like, Russian kind of backup vocals on one song.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Annex My Heart.
Annex My Heart about Natalia Poklonskaya.
Yeah,
oh.
says the guy.
I was wondering why
the guy with the hammer and sickle on his back.
I was going to just say. That's why he's got the hammer and sickle on his back.
Who else could I get?
Absolutely.
And then Abe actually wrote a song for us right before I left about body pillows. So we recorded it. I visited him up in Denton, Texas, and we recorded in his Jeep one night.
I lived the life of a body pillow, sir. So it's.
Well, I mean. Yeah. You are the scourge of females the world over. So body pillows are kind of it for you.
Quite the scourge. So it seems as if Smoke Solidarity and the Minorities are basically the dynamic duo of punk here on the islands. Basically, I mean,
sure, I'll take that.
You guys go. You guys go together like coffee and cream.
Yeah.
Or milk and sugar.
Oh, he's also the bass player of the Minorities.
Oh,
too,
very
so.
Cool. Look at that.
I got annexed into being bass player.
A lot of nepotism.
But, I mean, I'm totally cool with it. I was glad that they didn't, like, make me not play bass anymore.
See, the part of the story that he leaves out is that we left him no option for any of this.
Yeah, they told me 3 days before the show that,
like,
I was a new bass player.
Nice!
Like, we meet him, he hangs a couple of practices, like, you know, why don't you just do an opening band for Smoke Solidarity with us, and then he basically took Jose and Dak from my band, and That was the start of Smoke Solidarity for
wow.
the first two shows.
Yeah, for the first, the second one was super like last minute.
Yeah,
but we
yeah,
ended
yeah.
up playing it at mm-hmm. in Kihei, and then
so was Smoke. Not to get back into this again, but when you were in Texas, was Smoke Solidarity a thing, or did it become a thing here in Maui?
See, I kind of don't consider it a thing. As much as I talk about it and I worked on it and I wrote for it,
did
we
you ever
never
play
played
shows
a show.
Out there?
We never
yeah,
played a show, and
never
we
did.
Never actually sat in the same room and
you
practiced.
You recorded a demo, though.
I did record a demo back in Texas,
yeah.
which is why things were able to function so easy when
very
I got
cool.
over here.
Very cool.
But I kind of made a Cure reference for the demo. It's called 3 Imaginary Years, because the joke by that point is I've been doing it, and I've been talking about it for, like, exactly 3 years at that point, and, like, nothing actually happened with
wow.
it. So it was just me, like...
There's another name I know, The Cure. I like The Cure a lot.
Love The Cure.
Love The Cure.
They're not a punk rock band. Back on topic. Sorry.
As you were saying.
The album is pretty post-punk. But
as you were saying.
Yeah, it was. It really didn't start until I moved here. Because, like, I released some stuff online, some anime pages, shared it. I didn't really intend to release it, sure. But when they shared it, I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And then I wrote a song called Annex My Heart, which is just totally, like, referential. There was an attorney general who was appointed for, like, there's a lot of turmoil in Ukraine and everything.
Right.
So she's on some news reports, and a lot of that carried over into Japan and China and everything.
Right.
So as soon as they had her on, like, literally no one paid attention to anything she said, but they're like, OMG, she's hot. And, like, they made anime versions of her. They started putting her on, like, cardboard cutouts outside stores. And it was like, yeah, it was like this total ridiculous, like, fad. So I just felt compelled to, like, pop something out. I literally spent, like, 15 minutes on it in my kitchen.
Wow.
And then I went and visited, like, Steven and everyone the next, like, night, and we recorded, like, backup vocals.
We did it in my stepdad's garage.
Yeah, and you're, like, this in, like, the garage.
And we made up the vocal line on the spot.
Yeah, like,
wow.
We totally just, like, didn't pay much attention to it.
10,000 views and growing at the time.
Yeah, like, I woke
yeah,
up.
You wrote that wave.
I woke up the next day, and it was at 10,000, and I
You're
was like,
meme
I
meme machine, dude.
Wow! Wow.
So that's, like, the biggest, quote, success we've had.
You'd be surprised how quickly you can get a band name out without even playing a show anymore.
I was going to say that that was actually my next question. Like
social media is the way to go at this point.
I'm assuming that social media and the internet kind of garners your fame, as it were. Can I say that? Is that okay within the punk community?
Don't look at me. Look at him. He's the one that has it.
We're not famous even in the punk community. I mean,
sure,
I can
record
dream.
Label because of social media, man.
Yeah,
that's true. Actually,
well, all of us.
But he had to start his own record label.
You found me on a punk rock music forum.
Yeah,
when I was in high school.
Wow,
and you weren't even watching anime by the time you were.
Oh, I just didn't tell you. You asked me later.
You never
brought it up.
See now, I go over to his house and he's got multiple body pillows and he's watching anime all the time. Like, I've ruined so many of my friends this way.
Wow.
But anyway, the internet is a super big sticking point because I float. I stay super, like, on pulse with the punk scene, but I do the same thing with stupid internet stuff. So I'm in, like, all these groups. I, like, admin, like, anime pages, anime humor pages and stuff.
Right.
So I'm, like, hands deep in both. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. I constantly teeter back and forth. Like, I never want people to feel like I'm just making stupid references and, like, pandering to, like, internet nerds. But I never want people to feel like it's just a punk band with a gimmick. It's totally both. You know, there's not one without the other. But the internet's definitely been super cool. Because I'll have people, like, someone even posted in the event, they're like, you know, super disappointed I'm in the UK and not Hawaii right now. They live in the UK and they know who I am.
Wow.
And it's really weird. We actually got played on some, like, punk radio show out in New Hampshire, too.
Really?
Like, they just tagged me. I'd never heard of this person. So I was like, oh, cool. Great. Apparently we're part of your set tonight, you said. Great. Awesome.
That's
awesome.
What I'm saying, man.
Wow. That is really cool that you guys have... Your
they've never been on tour.
I was going to say,
yeah. We played a lot.
That's a far reach without a tour.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's quite some... you have a little bit of pull there, sir. I mean, you get recognized globally like that. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to keep that up for sure. How do you... knowing the history of punk... The way I do, obviously, you know how much I know about punk.
Vandals.
Yeah, Vandals. They always seem to be, I mean, historically-wise, bands and groups have always seemed to be short-lived. It seems like you guys have been around for quite some time.
Not anymore.
Is that not the case anymore?
Like... I don't know. There's truthfully, there's still a lot, because, I mean, we're in the days where, like, it's kind of the super hipster days with Bandcamp. Like, everything gets a demo on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
There's a lot that, like, can get a little bit of steam and then come to pass. And especially in the local scenes, things come and go. But I feel like there's kind of that barrier. If there's a band that really starts touring around, they're usually going to last. There's kind of that litmus test after a while.
It's come along, man. We have two Black Flags now.
Yeah.
We've come far away.
And I know that name, too. That's Henry Rollins, right?
Yeah, I had to know.
At one point,
there were other people before him.
I'm just trying to show off my punk prowess here.
Right now, Mike Vallely.
I do know
are
that
they
name
still
too.
Are they even still playing?
I don't even know.
That out.
Who knows?
I hope not.
We can get carried away on that, though, man.
Yeah. That's a topic for a punk. That's a topic for another podcast.
That's for his show.
Yeah,
show.
For sure.
Yeah,
that's
we can talk about his show.
Yeah, no joke. They use theremins now.
Love the theremin.
It's not good.
It's not good in that one.
You won't anymore.
It could.
You know why? Because that's how they made the theme to Star Trek.
Oh, maybe that's why. Sorry, I'm such a nerd.
And I'm not opposed to like weird instrumentation. Like I used 8-bit keyboard in one of my songs.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's so. I mean, like I'm totally into like doing weird stuff, but I mean, you just have to be like really careful about how you do it.
For sure.
You never want to just be a gimmick.
Cool.
Yeah, it has to have integrity. You know?
Absolutely, and it seems like Smoke Solidarity is making a name for themselves, especially out here in such a small island. I mean, getting your name out there globally and things is very, very cool. And you can definitely, by the way, you can see them this Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Otherwise, Luke, 6 to 9 p.m. Yeah. It's definitely hard to comprehend at 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's super early punk show before you go to school.
What's kind of cool about it is that kids can go, but then also like all the 40-year-old punk rockers that don't go to shows anymore.
Right.
That's their bedtime too.
Right. Yeah. That does make perfect sense.
Like the guy I'm slowly becoming.
I'm in bed by 9.
Yeah. Right. So, Krona, we really appreciate it, you coming on the show and sharing your love of anime, your love of punk music. Educating me, obviously, because obviously I know nothing.
The Vandals.
I didn't get that in there.
You didn't get that in there?
No.
Oh, okay. I was trying my best. I certainly was. So check out Krona and the Smoke Solidarity Boys.
You should at least ask who else is playing.
It's not just Smoke Solidarity. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was just you. Oh, that's right.
No.
I'm sorry. You know what? I just thought about that because it couldn't be just them from 6 to 9 because their EP is only 12.
Yeah. They're going to do 3 hours or 12 minutes in a turn.
Yeah. I just totally... I'm sorry.
See, that's the hard part about adding any new songs to the set, because it's like, cool, we actually have new songs that aren't even on the EP already.
Okay.
But it's like, cool, that means our set is 1 minute longer. No
that's
joke.
Awesome. So who else is playing on this this show over at the Wailuku Company?
Surprisingly, the Minorities. Who would ever guess that they'd be playing with us? You know,
never
I only found out 3 days ago. up in the air until three days ago. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
wow.
I like that when I can. And the first band, I kind of don't know what to say about. I mentioned that I played with these two guys back here.
Abe and Steven.
Yeah, so kind of one concept I had amongst my group, Abe didn't directly participate in it, but he was like witness to a lot of it.
Oh, is this the first Ames are going to hear of it or something?
No.
I wasn't involved. I just wasn't there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Now I'm about to be full force into it.
Nice.
So, you want to take this?
Okay. So it's called Exploitive Casual Sex. It's a play on the exploited, the casualties, and the Sex Pistols. And we came up with, or Steven started with this post that was supposed to be the most generic punk track listing.
I was bored one afternoon, and I was like, just on Facebook, as we are sometimes, and it's like, I'm just gonna write, this is the most generic punk like track list ever, so I just thought of every like cliche punk title that you might see in like an old, like, just throwaway, you know, hardcore band or something.
Right,
you know,
Like,
Anarchy is a Life for Me, and Drunk and Stoned, and Boots on the Ground, just really
it's really
brutal, like horrible street punk cliche crap.
It's like the Spinal Tap of punk.
Yeah, exactly. We came up with this whole stupid history, and we recorded an entire punk satire album. And it's like
sounds awesome.
It's the most ludicrous thing you could ever imagine.
And it's called Exploit
on your label.
No, I mean, I guess we'll put it out there someday.
So, like, and that's called Exploitive Casual Sex.
Exploitive Casual Sex.
It's never been released. Exploitive isn't even a word.
No.
That's the joke there.
Right, of course.
But it sounds like something that Jay would be all over.
Right, exactly. You know me so well.
Right?
So that actually never even got to playing a show. So we did it initially because we weren't sure about opening acts. And when they were coming, it just snowballed and we're going to do something. So it's I mean, we do a lot of weird show stuff that's kind of, like, a bit silly and other stuff for Smoke Solidarity, aside from any, like, seriousness we do have in our music. And basically this show, between us doing a kind of a satire set, if you will, that I've been really low-key about, but I don't mind talking about it. And then between our other at the set as Smoke Solidarity, which we're going to be doing like special stuff just for this show, it's going to be like probably the most ludicrous thing we've ever done, which is setting the bar really high. considering I already cross-dress as an anime girl, I throw Pocky, and like I hold up signs with like, you know, Japanese cutesy faces on it and stuff. I mean, it's already pretty surreal, and we're going like up to 12. If there is an 11 button, it's past that.
Wow.
So it's like, I feel sorry for people that aren't ready.
Oh.
it's gonna be scary.
So we can experience all of that on Friday, this Friday.
This Friday.
This Friday. Is that the 20th? The 19th?
The 20th.
Oh, the 20th. Okay, so this Friday, the November 20th, at the Wailuku Coffee Company, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., you can join the Smoke Solidarity Fellows, and of course, the Minorities will be there as well.
The number two worst punk band on Mountain.
Any other groups that we are not speaking of that is going to be there as well?
That's it.
Just the three.
Just the three of you?
That's all we can fit in.
Plus special appearances by Abe and Steven.
Yeah, they're going to be
very good,
helping us out with our set, so it's going to be super cool, and it's going to be super fun.
Fantastic.
Some coffee, some pastries.
Right.
Bring the kids.
Wow, bring the kids. This is going to be fun. So check them out this Friday, November 20th, Wailuku Coffee Company, if you're in the area, and even if you're not, just come on down, go see them, Smoke Solidarity, the Minorities. It's going to be a lot of fun from 6 to 9 p.m. This Friday night. Krona, sir, thank you so much for coming in. Abe, Steven, thank you for joining us as well. We certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Smoke Solidarity. How can we get the album, by the way?
It's going to be on Bandcamp, smokesolidarity.bandcamp.com. It's also through the record label I run, which is like Smoked Cheese Records. The label actually existed before the band. It's put out record longs before we existed.
Oh, very cool.
So once again,
that website is
smokesolidarity.bandcamp.com or smokecheeserecords.bandcamp.com.
Very, very cool. Krona, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us, and I'd love to be educated even more on the punk scene like I was tonight. I certainly do appreciate
You never
it.
Ask.
I never ask. Well, I sit next to a guy who's in a band that never tells me. Apparently, I can't bring up the Clash anymore. I'm sorry.
No, just with him. I'm fine with it.
It's just with me.
Oh, he's just cool, okay.
It's just a personal
thing.
He's got a Clash.
Oh, okay. Very
okay.
good. All right. All right. The Clash. They're okay. That's a great thing to end on right there.
That's going to be the name of this podcast. The Clash. They're okay.
They're
okay.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. That is our interview with the guys from Smoke Solidarity, for Gannon, for Format, for myself, Q-Money, and Alika. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned. Aloha.